You. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. How are we doing this morning? Good, good. Good to have everyone here. Raise your hand if you need a Bible, and our wonderful usher will get one to you if you do not have one. But if you are all set and locked up, we got one over there. There we go. Far side. Excellent. And you can keep it if you don't have one. So again, good to have everyone here. And yes, there's a new place that I'm standing and preaching from, a really blessed gift. I wasn't going to mention who, because I was, you know, told as quickly as it appeared, it can quickly disappear. But I got to say, it is a true just blessing. And it's all of us using the different gifts that we have in the bodies to focus on how we serve the Lord. And that's the heart behind the individual who did this. It's a heart just in surrender to serve in the Lord. So praise the Lord for that. Other thing, praise the Lord, last night we had our outreach in Chapel Hill. And there's two different little pictures I just want to share. The first one is a picture that Owen had taken. And I never noticed it, but he pointed this out last night, that right where we meet to pray, when you finish praying and you look up, that's what it says. There's a sign that says walk with light, which, you know, is walking with the traffic light. But boy, oh boy, is that a precious reminder for all of us. Amen. So he'll print it for you for a small fee. No, I'm kidding. But again, it was a good reminder. And before we put the other picture up, I just want to share a story, because it's the Lord is really blessing these outreach ventures. And it's, you know, there's a hunger for the word. There's a hunger for people that want to know Jesus. And you're also reminded of how broken some folks are. You know, I had one individual say to me yesterday, God has let me down every single time. I want nothing to do with that God. Just broken and hurt. And you know, we pray for that. And there's mental health things going on. There's a lot that you see when you're out there, which causes us to pray and only reminds us why we need to be out there. Amen. There was one situation for me that was a reminder too, that the Lord ordains every single moment. And we need to be yielded to the Spirit in all moments. So I was finished praying with a few different guys and was walking and going down. And I take notes after each person I pray with, but then also take notes on things the Lord lays on my heart to pray for. And at 6:07 p.m., I wrote a text to myself to pray on UNC and find out what are the ministries on the campus, because the Lord's been tugging heart. How do we plug in more there? How do we plug in to serve? And all the while I'm walking around thinking about this and praying it, there's a young man I see and kind of walks by, and we locked eyes for this minute, and I was like, well, I'm focused on praying for this right now, so I'm going to keep walking. Shouldn't have done that. So then we keep going, and then I run into him again, and I was just like, all right, Lord, you want me to talk to this guy, don't you? And now he's passed by me, so I was like, okay, now it's awkward. And I'm like, excuse me, sir, dude, kid, hey, turn around, me, look at me, look at me, come over here. And he's like, yes? And I said to him, I was like, hey, you know, I want to know, is there anything I can pray for you? And he goes, whoa. This is such a blessing from the Lord. And you can put the picture up. His name's Nathan. That's a picture we took together. And it was, he's finishing his freshman year. And it was such a blessing because he, one, said, well, this is a dual God-ordained moment, because I showed him the text I just written after he shared, you know, I'm part of two things. And one of them, Noblemen, were 16 guys trying to live for the Lord and trying to get people to dig into the Word of God. And then I'm part of this other fellowship on campus and da-da-da. So we started talking about all that. And he had shared, because where we walked through was a massive crowd. He's like, I don't really like crowds at all. But I just was like, all right, Lord, I'm going to do this and just bless it somehow. Just bless it. And he's like, this conversation's that blessing. So we're going to get coffee. We're going to keep talking. And so excited about that. And he has a heart for Indonesia and India. And so I shared with him about Pastor David and Dan going, and you can tell he was listening because I shared that. Then when we were praying, he already started lifting that up in prayer. So it was just such a God-ordained meeting. So again, just wanted to share that, be praying for him. And here we are, Palm Sunday. Already, can you believe it? We're here. And again, Passover had begun last night, and I encourage us to please be in prayer for the Jewish people, that the scales fall off their eyes, that they see the King of Kings is here, truly. And this is a time for us to gather and to focus our hearts, to ponder our Lord as we go into this week, which the church calls Holy Week. One of the brothers in the body, Hal, there's a beautiful piece that he made. I encourage you to take a look at in the prayer room. And it has a poem that really just makes you think in a really tender-hearted way. We also will have the reading plan that I did last year kind of put together. You can grab copies after the service that goes through different. You can choose which gospel you want to walk through. You can walk through all four, but just goes through this week. So you have the chance to kind of walk through it biblically, which is just truly beautiful and good. And again, be praying for this trip that Pastor David and Dan will have. It is an exciting and special time. Please, please be praying. Keep those prayers for that coming and be praying for the choir concert. Amen. Let's pray right now. And actually, you know what? Before we pray, Dan and Ava, can you come up here? Because are you going to be here next week? Okay, so come up here, Dan. I want to pray with you now. We're going to pray with Pastor David next week, and if the elders can come up too. Just want to lift this up in prayer, because this is an important trip that's going on, and we got to cover. Yes, yeah. No, I know that. All right. Ooh, come on over, guys. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are, Father. Thank you for bringing us in your house this morning to worship you. And Lord, we lift up our precious brother, Father God, Dan, Lord, and we also lift up Pastor David, Lord. But right now we lift up our brother and thank you for his heart, Lord Jesus, to just serve you and be surrendered in obedience, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for this trip to the Punjab region, Father God, and pray for your will to be done. Lord, I ask for travel mercies for my brother, Heavenly Father. And I also pray for Ava as she's going to be going to Germany to see mom. Travel mercies there, Lord. Cover each and every single part of this trip, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for the translations. We pray for the teachings that are going to go forth. Lord, fill our brother with your spirit that every single encounter he has, Lord, is just bringing forth what you need for that individual, for you leading and guiding him through your spirit, Lord Jesus. So have your hand over him, Lord. Be right now preparing the hearts, minds, and souls of the businessmen, the youth, and particularly the pastors, Lord. Help them to desire to just preach Christ after their time with these brothers, Lord. And Father, give them eyes to see and ears to hear what else you may need our body to do in that region, Lord, for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are digging in and we're taking a little break from our study. We're in the book of Acts usually, but we're taking a little break there. And again, it's Palm Sunday. It's this time that we remind ourselves of when that moment came where they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, meaning save us. And they had the palm branches that come down because they represented victory. They represented victory over that moment. And we have a little family devotional that we're going through that we kicked off with the boys. And it was interesting because it was talking about how on Palm Sunday, everybody was so happy. And quickly, the happy ones then turn to be the ones who say, crucify him in just a few short days. The passage that this Sunday, when we think of the calendar, focuses on, I'll just read it right now. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem, I'm in Matthew 21, and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. And this was done that in part, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So that's the text. They're excited. The king is coming. Excited. They're like, the king's here. He's taking down Rome. Game on. But they don't get why he's really come. He's come to take something down. The sin of the world. That's why he's come. Yet they're focused on the temporal. They're focused on the immediate. They're focused on what they find to be the most important victory at that moment. Yet the true victory over the real enemy wreaking havoc since the fall is the one that is defeated at the cross. Hosanna, save us. Save us. And that's a question I want us to ponder today. What's the heart of your Hosanna? Because when we think about this idea, save us, yes, we have that moment of salvation, but our cry out to God, Hosanna, doesn't stop at salvation. It keeps going. It keeps going. And as we get ready and approach Resurrection Sunday, the title of today's message is Prepare Thine Heart. We're going to be sitting in Matthew 3 today, and the title is Prepare Thine Heart. Because if you think of what we see in Matthew 21, where they're Hosanna, then a few days later, they're crucify him. Despite all being around him and everything they saw, their hearts never surrendered. So for us, my prayer is that this Palm Sunday, we don't just go with tradition. We don't just go with, it's Palm Sunday, it's Easter, let's get the honey ham going, the scalloped potatoes. I'm getting so excited about all these things. I'm not knocking those things. It's great. I remember, as you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I would be so excited for Palm Sunday. And why was I so excited? My mom thought it was because she would make crosses for us with the palms. And I'd always say, oh, Mom, get a lot of palm. And then one time she realized why it was, because she walked around where I thought we were hiding. And we used to take the palms, my buddies and I, and whack each other around. And she came and said, what are you doing with this? No more. And I said, okay, we're done. I won't do this anymore. But I used to get so excited. But it wasn't for the right reason. And saints, we have to not let ourselves grow and get rhythms and ways of doing the calendar that we forget to truly focus. We forget Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Saints, we don't stop the search me. We don't stop the Lord examine my heart after we pray a prayer to be in the book of life. We must continue this daily. And so as we go through this holy week, holy, what does that mean? Set apart. So saints, let's set this week apart to say, Father, search me. Father, examine my heart. So that when we gather a week from now, Resurrection Sunday, we are ready to just woo the resurrection power and all for his glory. And that we then would be ready to say, Father, whatever you have, I'm all in. Let's do it for your glory. That's how I want to remember the cross this year. I'm all in. So again, we're going to be in Matthew 3, the Gospel of Matthew, written by Matthew, tax collector. The Jewish people wouldn't like that very much. They didn't like the tax collectors. Why? They're collaborating with the Romans. No good, but that's the one we get. Matthew, this book being the first gospel, it breaks a silence after Malachi of 400 years. Much takes place with the nation of Israel, but it's 400 years that God is silent. Tradition points that this gospel was written in Hebrew, then translated into Greek, written by a Jew, intended for Jewish readers. Yet when we look at the Great Commission and we see the work of the cross, we realize the Gentiles and being grafted in. Each gospel, when we went through John and we did the intro there, reminded you each has a different thing that you can look to that it's highlighting. And when we look at the Gospel of Matthew, we see Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is Messiah and King. Matthew starts with that lineage, which shows that through Joseph, through adoption, that he's through the line of David. And then we see through Mary, when you look at Luke, it's biological also. And this gospel shows Christ fulfilling the messianic prophecies. Lots of Old Testament passages in the Gospel of Matthew. And one that I want to just highlight right at the start, when we look at this is two places. So put a thumb in Genesis 12 and then also turn to Matthew 1 and look at the very beginning of it. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And that son of Abraham is important because think of Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And if you remember when we started John, what did we do? We looked at John 1:1, and then we were in Genesis 1:1. Saints, that's why we study the Old Testament. Because it gives us the chance to see the way it all ties together. And this reminds us of the covenant promises to Israel. This reminds us, saints, yet I say again, why Israel doesn't replace the church. And I want to say, if you're here today and you think Israel replaces the church, please let's talk before you leave the doors of this church, because I don't want you having false teaching. And that's just false. And it's against the word of God. So if that's you, please let's talk. Please, it doesn't replace the church. Pray for Israel, especially now during Passover. So we're in this text, Matthew 3, prepare thine heart. So it starts for me to ask you as your pastor, where's your heart today? Where is your heart today? As we go through this chapter, we're going to explore different dualities of the heart. And ultimately, our heart's either God's or it's not. Yet, when we surrender, when our heart is his, guess what? We still have to say, search me. As I mentioned, we still have to prayerfully prepare our heart. It's prepared in and through him. And we say, Lord, lead me. It's that song we sing, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. That melting and molding is through the word of God. And my prayer is that through this week, we do that. That Resurrection Sunday, saints, let's be spirit-filled, spirit-led with boldness for him. Amen. So again, we're going to walk through this chapter. Let's stand together right now. We'll read just the first six verses together in Matthew chapter 3. Just the first six verses we'll read. And we read all together. We remind ourselves. We stand. Why? Because we're reading the word of God. Let's give it our undivided attention. And let's hear what the Lord would have for us today. We read, beginning in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for how you ushered in your presence this morning in worship. Lord, to behold your glory. Father, that we realize right now what we are about to dig into is the word of God. It is the manna you give us to sustain us. Lord, I ask you, help us right now, put distractions aside. Lord, whatever has our attention other than just focusing on what you would have for us through your Spirit, help each and every single one of us in this moment to put it aside. Whatever emotions, whatever thoughts, put it aside. And Father, I'm asking you through your Spirit, lead me, get me out of the way, fill me to have exactly what is needed for your precious people. Lord, whatever you need said, There's scriptures that weren't at the forefront this week, but you want, bring it to remembrance, Lord. Whatever you need for your people. And Father God, give us all ears to hear. Lord, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Father, give us things to ponder and meditate on, that our hearts would be surrendered to you. Lord, let us be open to your open heart surgery as the great physician. In the name of the mighty Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Grab a seat. So we see here in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. John preaching in the wilderness, barren waste land along the western shore of the Dead Sea. And we're going to go through this chapter. You know, we go verse by verse at Calvary Chapel. We're going to go through verse by verse, but taking some chunks to highlight certain things as we go into this week ahead on this Palm Sunday. So we see and saying, verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So something that we see before we look at what was said is how John comes. How John comes forth to do this. If we look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, Isaiah 40, verse 3, we read there from the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So that's that comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. These are lyrics I've sung many times in Handel's Messiah that you would be used to hearing at Christmas time. But I want to point something out that's interesting with that piece. It's actually originally performed in the spring. And it's quite a long piece. It's not just what we see at Christmas. And it's interesting when you think of that choice and we realize it's because it's the time of year that we remember the resurrection and we look to what he has done. We look to the fulfillment of Scripture. So there's this prophecy that takes place in Isaiah 40, and then we see similarly, if you turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to see there in verse 1, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. There's a messenger that's going to prepare the way before the Messiah comes, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Also one you'll hear during Christmas time, but it's hitting this moment. And this is all pointing to the one coming to prepare the way. In Isaiah, we're talking about Yahweh. In Matthew 3, verse 3, when it's quoted, we're talking about Jesus. Oh, God and Jesus, the same. Don't forget that. God the Son, God the Father. But John isn't coming and doing what he's doing in his own authority. He's doing it in the authority of the Lord God Almighty, who has called him to do this, who has called him to come forth. He's fulfilling this prophecy, and it's the first heart I want us to think about is the heart of authority. Do you live your life from that place where it's my way, I'm the authority in my life, you don't tell me what to do? Or do you live your life with a heart in submission to his authority? It's a question we've got to ask ourselves. Who's in control? Who has authority in your life? Is it you or is it God? Because many times, if you think about it, we'll say, no, yeah, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. The Lord is in control. I've surrendered everything to him. It's all him. And then when the rubber meets the road, you're making your own decisions because you want what you want and you're going to get what you want and you're going to justify it in the name of the Lord sometimes, sadly. So I encourage, ask ourselves, are we surrendered in all area? Proverbs 3, a verse we all hear, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And we did this when I was youth leader, youth in the room, if you remember. We did the cliche verse series and I said, we got to keep reading because verse 7, you don't see on many of the t-shirts with this verse. You don't see it all over. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I don't know why. They don't put that on the t-shirt. They just put trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then you hear culture say, follow your heart. And then it's like, ah, we're forgetting the part about who our heart's in submission to. Notice that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. That's important. So we see the authority he's coming in. He's coming fulfilling what the Lord is called to do. And now we're going to see what's the first word after these 4 years of silence. What's the first word that we get? Verse 2. That's interactive. I didn't know. No. Repent. We get repent. And that's an important word for us to realize. And repentance is something we've been talking about a lot of late. And a question I have with the heart, how is your heart with repentance? As we think of this Holy Week, do you repent or do you relent? Do you repent? Are you serious about sin? Or do you relent? It's not that bad. It's not that bad. I don't do dot, dot, dot. I only do it every now and then. Come on, leave me alone. Do you repent or do you relent? Saints, does sin matter to you? Do you take it seriously? As we prepare our hearts, that's something I want us thinking about, because we've got to explore our heart, mind, and soul, because it's all entwined together. And as we go through these verses, realize, what does Hebrews 4 tell us about the Word of God? It's a two-edged sword. What does it do? Pierce even to the divisions of what? Soul and spirit, discerning our thoughts and the intents of our heart. And if we think about that, a passage right now I'm thinking to take a look at for a minute, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Quite a list. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So think about the word we just brought up, repentance. Now think about your heart of repentance. Is it bearing forth works of the flesh or fruit of the Spirit? Works of the flesh or fruit of the Spirit. Because we got to remember something, brothers and sisters. Repentance isn't about your feelings. I'm sorry to say that. I'm not sorry, actually. Repentance isn't about your feelings. We can feel sorry for our sins. Fine, that's okay. But if we're just feeling sorry for the sin and we pray about it, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm such a bad person. I'm so bad, but I'm not going to change, but I'm sorry. That's not repentance. Repentance is action. It's turning away from sin. I turn away from sin, I turn towards God. And that's the first word that comes, repent. Repent. And then what do we see that he says? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Synonymous, the kingdom of God is at hand. And this is a thing that would really get them, because at this point, they're excited. They want that Messiah to come. They want the Davidic king. But the heart behind wanting it is the problem, because they don't fully get it. The heart's, Rome's going down. No, sin's going down. And that matters more. So all y'all need to repent. Repent. He's coming and saying, repent. And that idea, it would be a stumbling block for many of them. It would be a challenging thing to think about, yet he goes on and proclaims it. And then notice what he says with it is at hand. It's close. John has an urgency in his heart. He could have just stopped. Repent. He's coming. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's happening. There's an urgency. So we see the call to repent, and now we see the call to share. And saints, do you have a heart of urgency to share the gospel? Do you have a heart of urgency to share the gospel? Or do you have a heart of passivity as you wait for his return? Is there an urgency? Is there that reality? I know I might now be in the grocery store a little bit longer, but I got to go talk to that person. I got to have a conversation and lay seeds because you put that person on my heart, Lord. Is there an urgency? He speaks the truth. He doesn't do it in his own authority, and he speaks the reality. Hearts need to change. Don't delay. The time is at hand. The time is now. Is your heart urgent for the lost? Or is your heart more urgent about not missing out on what you think is more important than fulfilling the Great Commission? Where's your heart with these things? Again, my prayer, like I said, Resurrection Sunday, is that over this week, as we let the Lord search our hearts as a body, we are just on fire to go forth and say, guess what? He came. He died. He was buried. He rose, and he's coming again, and wrath is coming. Repent! That sounds harsh. It's truth. There's a great sticker. I don't know if you saw it coming off, if you're coming from our area, Eflin, when you come off on I-40, and I don't know, hope they're still there. It's these yellow stickers. Jesus is coming. Repent. So I was like, yeah. Amen. Plant some seeds. Let's think about these things unto faithful obedience. Because when we remember, repent, it's turning away. The Old Testament times is the same thing it would be. It's taking and saying, I'm making different choices for God. And my life, the actions, the way that I live is going to be different. And that's why I say, what did Jesus say? You'll know them by their fruit. It's important that we, as he searches our heart, figure out, okay, I've repented of this. Am I moving forward differently and bearing forth the fruit of the Spirit, or am I actually just, it's the works of the flesh. Was my heart really surrendered? Don't give God lip service. He doesn't want lip service. He wants our hearts. He wants all of us. So we go on. Verse 4, now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region about the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So in his attire, they'd see the allusions to Elijah and the prophet attire that he comes on. And we see here in it, there's nothing from when you look in the Gospels and see how John came that really took to heart what folks might think. Because again, this guy's living in the wilderness and he has the attire of that, but it's not as though he morphs or changes anything. No, he's in the wild. He focuses on self-denial and a simple life to be used for the kingdom of God. So that makes me think about our hearts of approval. Because imagine if John, because think of the platform, all the folks he's going before, his focus was, okay, well, I know in the wild this is what I do, but I got to present all these different ways. No, he doesn't care about that. What about you? Is your heart looking for man's approval or God's approval? Think of that this week. Meditate on that. And as we see in this text, as we've seen in Acts, who brings the folks? The Lord takes care of that bit. And this baptism that would be realizing culturally at the time, we've got to recognize that's a big deal for these Jewish individuals to come forth and get baptism. Because baptism would be done if one was converting to Judaism. They would be baptized. Yet now he's saying, no, you need to repent and then you're going to come. You're going to do this baptism because it's going to be a symbol. It's not what actually gets you forgiven, to be clear. It's a symbol of you deciding to turn away, bury the old self. This is a big deal because they would be saying in this gesture, I align with what you're saying. I align myself with the words coming forth from John right now. From a heart of repentance. Alignment with truth. Where is your heart, saints, aligned? As we go through this week, where is your heart aligned with the gospel and truth? Do you focus to align with just the gospel, just the truth, or do you align with Christian culture and relative truth? Where's your heart aligned? And that's when I really encourage us to go through, because that's where you have things that are so clear in Scripture, but Christian culture has now created a way, well, if you don't agree with what the Word of God says, here's how you can justify it to make it say what you want it to say. But that's not what we're called to do. Just take the Word of God as is. Are you aligned with truth or relative truth? Prayer is needed to see where are we aligned. Where are the subtle ways I'm actually saying yes to the world and not to the gospel through my actions? Think about it. Are there chances to stand for truth? I remember, you know, I was a school administrator. I remember when I was getting all the pressure, we noticed your email signature doesn't have pronouns in it. And there was one group meeting where they said, you know, we don't know if we can keep you in this local consortium because you don't have your pronouns. I said, I'm not going to be able to do that. But if anybody is confused about God's design of who I am, please have them speak to me. But I'm not able to do that. And I challenged some of my colleagues who I knew were believers and would say, well, I don't want to lose my job. I'd say, well, what are you looking for? Gain the world, lose your life? Jesus has some words on this. And that's a decision you take to your prayer. But again, do your actions reveal alignment with truth or alignment with relative truth? I firmly believe the little things matter. We can, as children of God, go back and forth. It all matters. Where's your heart aligned? Pray on that this week. Ask yourself that. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He doesn't mince words there, does he? Now, we see here two groups, the legalistic Pharisees of the day, those coming, and then we see the elite aristocratic priesthood of the Sadducees coming forth. The Pharisees, the ones who would keep the law, who would be self-righteous. The Sadducees who would decide, we don't believe in angels, we don't believe in the resurrection, we don't believe in spirits. The religious leaders of the day. That's who we see here. And John makes something clear, and Jesus reiterates it in the Word of God. The outward isn't what matters. It's the inward. Because who's being addressed here? The religious leaders, the Pharisees. Guess what? They knew the scriptures. They tithed. They fasted. They prayed. And they were hypocrites. They were hypocrites and self-righteous in their actions. Their hearts, graceless. Graceless. And the Sadducees, the aristocratic ones, guess what they're doing? Limiting God. They limit God to their logic. It's not about faith and surrender. They're anti-supernaturalists. There's no supernatural thing. It doesn't exist. We'll uphold the law written, not the oral law, the way the Pharisees do. This gives us a heart to explore, saints. How's your heart of hypocrisy? How's your heart of hypocrisy? Are you the same person sitting in this chair right now outside of these walls? Or not? How's your heart of self-righteousness? In a world that's so divisive, do you enjoy exalting yourself above others? Ah, those lefties, I'm not like them. Ugh. How's your heart of self-righteousness? How's your heart of grace? How's your heart of grace? Saints, think of the grace God has given every single one of us. How is your heart of grace? How is your heart of limiting God? Do you place limits on what God can and can't do? Stop doing it. You're not God. Don't place limits. It's really, do you have a heart for his spirit? Do you want to be led by his spirit? Or do you deny his spirit? And saying sometimes that denial of the spirit, it's not even that you don't want to believe it. The enemy's got you so locked in fear. Remember, Jesus says, fear not. Be encouraged. Remember what we saw in Luke 11. You ask for the spirit, he's going to give you that gift. Don't be afraid. Let him have his way. And as these religious leaders are, they've got a heart above others. But we need to have a heart of the sinners where we realize we all fall short of the glory of God. I love when Paul says, goes through all the sins in 1 Corinthians and says, but such were some of you. I love that. It's like, yeah, such were some of us. Let us not forget. And then notice he makes clear something else here because they say, he says, don't think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Guess what? Association doesn't bring you into eternity with God. It doesn't. It doesn't do that. Is your heart his or are you playing church? Are you here to appease your wife? Are you here to appease your husband? Are you here to appease a friend? Are you here because, well, I'm a teen. Mom and dad are here. I'm here. I got to be in church. Okay, you do, youth. But guess what? You can't get into heaven based on mom and dad's relationship with the Lord. You got to have your own, guys. That's why after service, we have the check-in with Mike and Eileen in the youth room. If there are any youth here today, head to the youth room after this, and there's a check-in with Mike and Eileen to go over the text. Well, I don't want to get that serious. Well, just come and listen. See what the Lord would have for you. Don't just walk out the doors, because you have to have your own relationship. Think about it. A few chapters down, Matthew 7, what does the Lord tell us? In verse 7 of Matthew 7, this wasn't one of them, but if you can find it, awesome. If not, no worries. Matthew 7, 13, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. As I've gotten older in my walk with the Lord, every time I read this, I'm like, that few really is few. It really is few. And especially with how we get presented so much of playing church. Then he goes into the parts of you're going to know them by their fruit. And then look what we see in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You can't play church. You can't fake your way into this. So saints, this week it's Holy Week. Set apart time. If there's areas where you're playing church, knock it off. Take it to the Lord and repent. Take it to the Lord and repent. Do you hear me, saints? Because Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, the Lord's stirring this body in such a special way. And as your pastor, it's like, I got to push us in love to say, do the work in prayer. Let him search your heart. Because it can't just be the folks who consistently come to House of Prayer or prayer or Wednesday nights. We're good. We got 30, 40. And praise the Lord. So many folks are coming to prayer and to service. I love it. Praise the Lord. But guess what? We're one body, which means every part of the body matters. If you're sitting here and you think, well, there's nothing I can do, talk to the Lord this week and ask him. Everybody has something to offer within this body of believers. Every single person. Do you get that, guys? Every single person has something to offer in the Lord, but you gotta have your own relationship with him. And look at how good our God is. After he has this passage, which, you know, you read and it's like, whew, depart from me, I never knew you, that's scary. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You got to build your house on the rock. What's the foundation of your heart, saints? Is the foundation of your heart Christ alone? And then notice what he says here. He tells them, the one who's coming is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. How is your heart for seeking the Holy Spirit? Are you seeking that baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's not something that you just, it's are you seeking it? And are you seeking to be filled afresh, to overflowing for his glory? And do you have that urgency that takes place? Because he points in these verses to the judgment to come, eternal fire. Do you have an urgency? It comes up again. Now, as we close this chapter, look at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Boy, the humility of our Savior. He doesn't come and say, no, you gotta, I'm doing this. I'm Jesus. I'm doing it. No, permit it to be so. We have to fulfill this, permit this. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up and immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Trinity scene, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Jesus comes for this baptism to identify with those needing to repent, those in sin. He comes as the suffering servant. Homework assignment outside of the reading plan. Read Psalm 22 tonight. And then read Isaiah 40 to 53. See the pictures of Jesus. And as you read it, if you have a Jewish friend, send it to them and say, I love reading these prophecies that fulfill the coming of the Savior. Share with them. This is important. Now, he also comes, by Jesus doing this baptism, it confirms the teaching that John has given. What John is saying is confirmed by this action, and this baptism reveals how much Jesus gets us. That he gets us thing, you know how I feel about it. Yes, they're right, he gets you, but he doesn't get you to affirming to stay the way you are. He gets you to affirming your sin unto repentance. There's a big piece left off there. But notice, what is Jesus doing? He's obedient to God the Father. There's another thing to examine of our hearts. How is your obedience to God the Father? And again, this baptism shows the triune God, three in one. Three distinct persons, one being. Different religious sects, different cults, different groups try to say, well, sometimes he's God the Father, sometimes he's... No, it's three in one. But as we pray this week, ask yourself, how are you with God the Father? How are you with God the Son? How are you with God, the Spirit? Are you in the Word of God? Are you praying to the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus? I just had the talk with a Catholic relative and saying, no, you don't need to talk to Mary. She ain't gonna do nothing for you. Don't talk to Mary. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And are you seeking the filling afresh of the Spirit? The Spirit descended as a dove. And then what takes place next? Jesus' ministry. Spirit led. Look at Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. If he needed the Spirit to do what God the Father tells him, how much more do we, y'all? Right? How much more? How's your heart with God? How's your heart with Jesus? How's your heart with the Spirit? And when you are thinking of your heart with the Spirit of God, remember what they were doing when they were baptizing in verse 6. They were confessing their sins. Do you confess or do you conceal? How are you with your sin? Do you confess or do you conceal? How are you with living this Christian life? Do you do it by self or do you do it by his Spirit? Where is your heart today? Can you put up the heart picture? So this is a little heart check that I put together. Because if you think about, prepare thine heart. And if you think about, Lord, search me. And if you think about going through Matthew 3, and looking at the hearts of the individuals in this chapter, we see the things that we hit: authority, repentance, urgency, approval, purpose, alignment, hypocrisy, self-righteousness, surrender, confession, genuine. Are you genuine? The foundation, obedience, his Spirit. How's your heart? And what about grace? Because we can't leave out grace. For the grace he's given us. So, saints, I encourage you this week, you know, and maybe we'll email this if you want. Pray through these. As you do the reading, as you're preparing, let Holy Week actually have a meaning other than just thinking about a menu and stressing about family coming to visit. It's got a big meaning. And realize something, saints. I want to encourage you. This week, the charge, ask the Lord prayerfully, prepare your heart for him. That's where we're going. Ask him, prepare my heart, Lord. Search my heart. The charge, really, have open heart surgery this week, every day, with the Lord. But I want to encourage you with something, because you could look at this, you could look at all those things up there, and then that's where the enemy can have a field day, because it gets to, I'm never going to be good enough. That's the enemy. I'm going to tell us a secret. None of us will ever be good enough. Do you get that? So when the enemy whispers to you, you're never going to be good enough, I'm telling you a little secret that's not a secret. None of us are going to be good enough. None of us are going to be good enough. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. So when you go through this and you say, Lord, search my heart, and you see, where are you with these things? Because I think these are important pieces the Lord's laid on my heart to share with you, to search your heart so you let him refine you for his glory. But realize as you go through that, as you search those different things and pray through those different things, if you say, Lord, I'm sorry, he doesn't have you jump through hoops to then get his forgiveness. Boom, forgiven. If you say, Father, teach me, he will teach you. If you say, Father, lead me, he will lead you. If you say, Father, may I have your spirit to be empowered to obey and turn towards you more, he will do that. That's the king we serve. So do not let fear keep you from preparing your heart by letting him search you. Amen. Amen. If there's anything that's striking and you're like, whoo, I'm hitting, I need prayer, stand up because I want us to pray. And that can feel uncomfortable. It can feel, oh, why are we doing this? This is awkward. Because we're in the Lord's house, saints. And we need to pray. So if you need prayer, stand up. And if you see folks standing, and you're not saying you need prayer in this moment, go over and start praying with them. Right now, go. Pray with the folks that have hands up, that are standing, that need prayer. Somebody go over to them and pray with them right now. Go over and pray with folks. Jesus said, make my house a house of prayer. So don't leave his house without being prayed for. So if you need prayer, go over to that person, pray. If you have kids that you need to get out of mountain climbers, because my wife's probably reminding that it's going long, you can go get those kids. But let's pray. We got to keep praying with each other because the world needs his light. Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. Father, I'm in awe of you. Thank you for these people. Lord, thank you for the gift to serve you. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the resurrection power of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love these people. Build them in you. Give them a hunger for you. Lord, that this body be exactly what you need for your glory. Use us, Lord, for your glory. Be magnified, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a good afternoon, saints.